Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
To American Godcast, the podcast about Starz' American Gods.
We're going to discuss the show from a God's point of view.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Oh, God damn it, Pete. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, and Pete's a shitty, shitty god. God of shit.
I'm not a god. That's why I don't pretend to be one.
Pete, you are a nice guy. You're a shitty god.
I would want to say that for years.
Yeah, not a guy. I feel like I would maybe sacrifice half a sandwich for you, but that's pretty much it.
Don't you think like all the like animals that live in your apartment think of you as a god?
I think they think of him as a Disney princess.
That's true. Oh, the stuffed animals. I'm talking about all the ants.
No, it's like that.
All the ants.
Yeah, Pete's place is crawling with ants.
Every time Pete starts singing, ants start crawling up his arms and putting on his clothes.
Yeah. Pete's life's a picnic, and he's crawling with ants.
Yeah, I love that song, by the way. The My Life is a Picnic song that you sang the other day.
Oh, great.
My life is a picnic, I'm waiting for my prince. My name is Pete, and I live on a fence.
That's really good. I like it sort of jazzy. It's more up-tempo than a lot of the Disney songs.
Yeah. Well, you're the god of Scatman.
Yeah, Louis Armstrong, I can't believe he co-sings it.
Yeah, cool. So, Justin, it's good to have you back after one episode off talking about American Gods. Real quick, how'd you feel about last week's episode before we get into this week's?
It was interesting. Well, the opening sequence I thought was I liked the content of it.
This is the animated sequence.
The animated
sequence,
yes. Yeah. It did feel a bit disjointed. I prefer the live action sequences. Mm-hmm. Sort of mixed on that. And then the episode felt, I would have been curious to argue with Pete about it because you got your answers about Laura, but it was sort of a lot of sitting around.
Yeah, it was. But it was, he held strong, which I was happy with. He was like, no, get away from me.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Let's move on to this week's episode then, because a lot of big revelations happened, I think, this week after we got past the Laura thing. We talked a little bit about how last week we set up the antagonists on the show. To me, at least, it feels like as good as the guys get on this show, they're bringing the good guys together, or at least setting the stage on their side, pretty much. But at the same time, it felt like a disjointed episode to me. There's a lot of stuff going on. There wasn't quite the strong focus of the first couple of episodes. It's a middle chapter, so I get that. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little mixed about the show. How about you guys?
I was happy that this is the episode where Shadow Moon finally wakes up and is like, hey, what the fuck is going on here? I mean, come on.
It only took a little tree infection in his gut to make him be like, you know what, this is a weird day I'm having.
It was pretty late in the game for him to start questioning Wednesday, but I'm glad it finally happened. And I literally hate when you ask somebody a question and then they're like, oh, if I tell you, you wouldn't believe me. That line of dialogue that always seems to happen in movies or in TV shows drives me insane.
My favorite one is there's no time, I'll explain on the way.
Yeah.
Which in that amount of time, you probably could have explained.
Yeah. Also, on the way is a terrible time to explain things.
Right.
Someone's driving, and so you got to focus on the road.
The other person's probably giving directions.
Yeah, if they're a good navigator.
Yeah, exactly.
Holding the other guy is, or whatever app you choose to use.
Yeah, the other guy is probably doing the inventory of the snacks.
Yeah, you got to count the snacks so then you can split them up, because you don't want one person to not get enough chips. That's why every bag of chips I get, I open it and separate them into two separate containers. With equal amounts of sour cream and onion spices.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
You separate out the spices.
Spice,
you put the sour
spice,
cream
spice, brother.
And the onion.
Now I know why you're late all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
you should go on a road trip with me. It's meticulous.
Oh, that's exactly what
that's
I want.
That's the most fun way to describe it. So, I mean, I agree with you on this.
Sorry, just real quick. I'm surprised he's the guy with ants.
Yeah. No, I meant his parents' sister.
Oh,
he plays
right.
His drawing with, okay, like relatives.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's disgusting.
What a lovely family.
They're very strong. His ants can lift 7 times their body weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wait, do we want to talk about
jacked ants?
Do you want to take a little bit of a step back and talk about the beginning of the episode?
Yes,
of
I think this is perfect. Well, actually, I want to take 2 steps back for a summary of it.
Okay, can we take 2 steps forward, because opposites attract?
Yes, let's definitely do that. Oh, we got to get Cool
Which
Cat.
Which one of us is more cool?
We got to get DJ Cool Cat
on this
show.
Podcast, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. He loves American Gods.
He doesn't say much, but man, that guy can dance.
He is the god of dance.
Hey, so make your fucking
point.
So
I feel like the last episode is where we're like, it was sort of line in the sand episode. It's
right.
Like we're using capital G gods as a descriptor now. It's new gods versus the old gods. And in this episode, there's a lot of pointing toward that, but there's a lot more mystery when we haven't really settled a lot of mysteries from the first half of the season. So I feel like that's why it's disjointed. It's like, wait, what's happening? Who's doing what? Mm-hmm. Motivations shift a lot. Like Matt Sweeney, it's easy. He wants a coin.
Yeah.
But dead wife, as he calls her,
yeah,
like
which
she's
is awesome.
Like it confused, doesn't know what she wants, doesn't know where she's going literally. So like, I think that's why it feels disjointed. And mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's not the strength of the Laura standalone episode was we got a great story out of it. And this, mm-hmm. it feels very like wandry.
The other thing that's confusing is coming from the perspective as a book reader, even though I know our listeners are slamming me because clearly I don't remember the book as well as I think I do.
I agree. I don't remember it.
Yeah. But this stuff is totally different. This episode,
yeah.
Totally different. And things are getting mixed around and they're changed. Things are happening earlier. Things that never happened in the book are happening on the show, which is all fine and all good.
That.
But it's weird to watch. It's very different from, say, Game of Thrones, where they'd riff a little bit to the side and then come back and join the main narrative.
Yeah.
Here we're getting things that potentially change the narrative entirely, and I have no idea where they're going to go at this point.
It's a good thing you brought up Game of Thrones. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to follow your logic.
Fucking dick. Pete, once again, I can't believe I have to say this every single week. You can relate things to other things. It's okay.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Or you can just describe what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like how you're covered with ants and you were compared to both a picnic and a Disney princess. It's the same sort of thing.
And that's useful conversation. No one would argue with that.
Yeah.
So we kick off the episode with a border crossing.
Yeah.
And it's we get our classic Coming to America, the little quill signing the parchment. This one was odd, though. It was very modern.
Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was, I liked the stakes of it. I liked what was happening. And it was like, you know, when they were making their way, you're like, I know something's going to happen. And it was very interesting the way it unfolded.
Well, it unfolded with, and you guys would know more about this than I would as a Jew, but
Jesus,
is that who that guy was?
Oh, Jesus. It was.
Jesus.
Yep. It was the Jesus from the Coen brothers film franchise.
Oh, okay. So. Oh, the John Turturro character.
Exactly.
Yeah. The
great.
Jesus
from the Big Lebowski.
Now, is it weird to you then that he didn't have his bowling ball?
Yeah, I think we were going to get to it before he was horribly murdered.
Yeah, before he was murdered again.
So I think this is an interesting, this opening sequence was like super depressing. To me, people desperately trying to cross the border, a bunch of border seemed like militia type people show up in their big trucks and just start shooting them.
Right.
And we do have the introduction of Jesus or a Jesus. Mm-hmm. I feel like we.
Why do you mean a Jesus? Why can't it be the Jesus?
Well, we've talked in the show. They've talked about different Jesuses, different interpretations of Jesus. So I feel like this is some sort of Latin America or South American Jesus, I guess you could say.
Right.
And I don't know, the show doesn't explicitly state that, but they did say there are different Jesuses. And I feel it's weird, though, I feel like crossing into the one of these more modern major religions, it's a little, it's hard, it's different. It feels different from other gods we've met where these religions are mostly dead, to now be dealing with a religion that a lot of people still believe in.
Oh, so you it bothered you because it was talking about your religion a little bit.
I'm not that. I don't believe in some sort of sandal walking on water Jesus. So I think.
All right. Wow. Don't shoot down somebody's Jesus.
I'm not shooting. I'm not shooting down.
It seems like you were the guy in the monster truck unloading all of his bullets onto somebody else's Jesus.
I'm not. Your own personally. Well, that was interesting. Like the guys shooting the guns, we never see their faces, but we see they have crosses. They are they believe in the same God, yet they're shooting
Jesus. Very powerful.
Or a different. I think the point though is they believe in a different Jesus, and this is the Jesus coming with the people into America. All I'm saying is it's weird in the show. All these other gods, which are major characters in a lot of different fictions and stories we read in comic books and whatever, to be dealing with Jesus, and Jesus rarely shows up in comic books. I feel like that's in a lot of like stories.
He teamed up with Spider-Man that one time.
Yeah, man, what a crazy quest.
They fought Dr. Doom.
And the devil.
Yep. They lost.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is interesting. And I think that is, to your point, getting to their point, that we're starting to bridge into the modern era and find out where the difference really is between these old gods and these new gods, and that it's not really that different, that it's continuous, that we constantly create our new gods. It's a constant cycle of these things. But even from my Jewish perspective, I agree with you that it's strange seeing Jesus in this context, because we're able to look at a leprechaun or some of the other gods, Anubis, Anansi, as, oh, these are storybooks. These are things that we read. We can separate ourselves from them. Jesus is, whether you believe in Jesus or not, so tied into everything that happens in America in the modern era that it's impossible to divorce yourself from your emotional feelings about Jesus in the same way you probably don't have emotional feelings about a leprechaun.
Right,
that's weird. Unless you don't really like Lucky Charms.
I wasn't pulled out of the story, but I was happy that we got Jesus.
Well, let me ask you, are you at all religious?
I mean, I believe in God.
Do you believe in Jesus?
I believe in God, yeah.
So wasn't it weird then to see?
No, I was happy that he finally showed up, because we're talking about gods, and I'm like, all right, good. We got a little Jesus
in
there.
So let me ask you, though, if you believe, this is a religion you believe in,
right?
Isn't it weird to be like, oh, that's my guy? And he just got lit up by these random dudes. I mean,
you know, you're getting a touch of all the gods, of different gods, and there's more to come, which I'm excited to see. So it's fun to be like, oh, yeah, there's Jesus.
Let me ask you this. How did you feel when you were watching Bruce Almighty?
I'm a big fan of Jim Carrey. So.
All right, what about Evan Almighty?
Terrible. That movie was trash. That offended me on a religious
That's what I'm trying to get at, is when is Evan Almighty going to finally show up on American Gods?
I'd feel like, to your point, I have a lot of relatives that are born again Christians, and I feel like they'd be like fine with this show up until like Jesus showed up, then be like, I can't watch this. This is bad. We need to protest this. And I think it's interesting.
It was exactly the Jesus that we know. He was sacrificing himself for the people he's trying to help.
I think it is interesting to put yourself in those shoes, which in this case are your own shoes, and then think about, I know this is contradicting what I just said, but there are people out there that believe in jinn, who believe in leprechauns, who believe in whatever Mr. Wednesday is that maybe we'll get to a little later on in the show, and all of these other gods that have those beliefs. There's far fewer people who believe in those old gods, but they do have that emotional connection that way and do have a reaction to it from seeing those, I hesitate to say characters, but characters depicted on screen, you know? So it is interesting. And I think that, again, was the point of showing Jesus, and later on having Mad Sweeney talk about Jesus, is to bridge that gap in people's minds.
And I think that's really cool, and it points to a larger question about the shows, I guess, thematically. Like, that Jesus was helping to usher these these immigrants into America.
Right. Did a bad job, by the way.
Didn't. That's what I'm saying. Not a powerful Jesus. That got lit up.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, then it cut away. We don't know what happened. You don't know if Jesus came back to life and had like a couple Uzis and took everybody out.
Yeah, I guess that's the way the Bible went.
Yeah, I'm more interested now about your religious beliefs, Pete.
For the only guy here who's like hard repping their religion, you're like, yeah, this fucking guy's a radical.
Yeah, you do realize that Jesus and the Punisher are two different people.
Maybe in your religion.
In fact, Jesus' whole thing was, hey, let's turn the other cheek, which is not with a gun.
But this is a new updated Jesus.
So, but anyway, my point is, was the guys who were doing the shooting, who also were holding crosses, their Jesus or their religion is more powerful than these immigrants?
Is that what you took away from it?
Well, I think that's a question that's posed. Like, they're holding their religious icon, they're worshiping, and they shoot. They defeat this other god. Right. In last week's episode, it was about a god defeating another god.
But they didn't know
they
were shooting Jesus. It's not like they were like, fuck you, Jesus.
I think Justin's point, and this ties into the end of the episode, and we are really jumping around here, but this episode really is all about weapons, right? And the weapons that we wield, whether they're verbal weapons or whether they're actual guns. And I think, given that we don't see their faces and we only see their guns, it's pretty clear that they are... their god is guns. Their god is weapons.
And this is pointing again to later in the episode, but there was a one shot of a bullet, I think, either being loaded or coming out with Vulcan written on it.
Right.
Yeah. In that opening sequence.
Yeah. Interesting. I guess we'll have to find out whose side Jesus is really on.
Yeah.
But I think, because that's what I think a lot of this show is about, where...
By the way, it's the driver's side because Jesus took the wheel.
Yeah, Jesus. No, I think Jesus reached across from the passenger side to take the wheel.
Oh.
You think Jesus was driving the whole thing? If you fucked up to get in your car and drive from the passenger seat until it's like, hey, Jesus, you mind taking the wheel for a second? I gotta separate these chips into two separate piles.
And then you look down and you only see one set of tire tracks because that's how he was driving you. Because
he was on a motorcycle the whole
sweet.
Time.
And you were on a sidecar.
Yeah.
Cool Jesus, he pulls out the Uzis. And then he's all like...
I'm glad you casually worked that in.
Yeah. Thank you. I should mention this episode is brought to you by Mountain Dew USA. Do the USA. Brought to you by Eagles.
The official drink of the guys in the trucks that shot South American Jesus.
I would also like to mention this podcast is not sponsored by that.
No, it's not. But I did get a free thing from Mountain Dew that makes it.
Zalbin free stuff. Our show is sponsored.
Well, it's true. Yeah. It makes an eagle sound.
Yeah, we heard it.
Yeah, if you're a soda out there that has a button bird call, please send it in, and we'll be happy to have the the Dr. Pibb, the Mr. Pibb Nightingale sound effect.
Yeah, cool. Cool, dude. So I think we spent a lot of time on the opening sequence. Let's talk about the rest of the show. So as we talked about a little bit earlier, Shadow finally lays it down for Mr. Wednesday and is like, what the fuck is going on here? How do you feel about the answers that he got?
Well, I mean, obviously, I would have liked a straightforward conversation. I would like the Wednesday to finally be like, okay, here's the thing, man. Okay.
You like it? He's like, and this is the whole show. We're hoping to do like three seasons and on stars, and that's it.
No, not that meta. Just say
it's great.
Listen,
ratings haven't
God.
Been that great, but streaming, if you add Live Plus 7, it's been pretty good.
And
we expect eventually people are going to binge on it later after the season opener. Honestly, it's 8 episodes, so it's very bingeable.
That's what I want media to be saying. I feel like media should just be laying down the ratings.
I would not be surprised if that happens later on. Pete, by the way, just walked out of the room.
Let me know when you want to get back to the discussion. So, yeah, I just felt like, obviously, Wednesday isn't going to give him a straightforward answer, but he got the best that he's going to get out of him. I just think it was weird that it finally took him this long before he had some questions.
Yeah. Do you know why they call him Mr. Wednesday? Because Wednesday is hump day, and if you listen to him, you're going to get fucked.
Oh, my God.
Cool.
Who are you?
American God's hype man.
All I'm saying is...
Oh, man. Alex is the god of annoying podcasts. Again, Alex doing his Zoom morning crew audition tape.
Yeah. Whoa, someday it's going to work. Someday.
I mean, Mr. Wednesday is a liar. Like,
That's Spanish for.
Exactly, and that's he's the god of flaming pants. We also learn on the other side of the conversation that Matt Sweeney, talking to Laura, sort of concurrently with this conversation, is saying that he's not your man anymore. He's Mr. Wednesday's man. He's a liar. So I was unsatisfied with what's happening. Shadow is a pawn. Feels like a pawn in this situation.
Well, he drank all that mead. I mean, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you guys. Just, I feel like I do this all the time, but really just because I'm not as familiar with the Jesus story as you guys are. So we have, this is a serious question. So we have Jesus in the first scene. He gets shot in the heart. We get the heart wound that you see in all the pictures. Then Shadow has been attacked by this tree, got poisoned, and he gets this other wound right there. Isn't that where Jesus' spear wound
is? I mean, I am not an expert. You keep going to me like I'm an expert on Christianity. Not at all. But yes, I think all of the wounds are
crown. So what are you saying? Shadow Moon is Jesus?
I'm just trying to figure out if there is some sort of parallel or connection there, which I do think there probably is. And isn't there something about who cleans Jesus' wounds when he's on the cross? Is that Mary?
A doctor.
Oh, a doctor.
No, I have no idea.
It's Mr. Wednesday.
I do think that wound does match with, I think it's a spear. Pete, you're the one who is religious, right?
Why do you guys, do I look like?
I asked you, you said
earlier
this
you
podcast.
Asked me if I believe in God, and I said yes. That doesn't
so
mean I'm religious.
So just now tell us who's cleaning up Jesus' spear holes.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was Mary.
Okay.
But not
I don't think it was.
But that doesn't
Mary
really
Magdalena.
Connect,
is that another Mary? Christians. Please hit us up on Twitter with some of these.
Yeah, this is great. This is great because we're doing a podcast about gods and we don't know anything about religion.
I know more about other gods than I know
well,
about...
That's crazy, right?
That's what
I
feel saying.
Like I know... Ask me anything about Norse or Greek mythology, yeah, I'm good
I will
to go.
Crush it there.
Russian mythology?
I will crush it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyways, other than wound stuff...
Well, so Mr. Wednesday heals him, though. He takes that gross tree poison being thing out of his body.
The first nice thing he's done for
him. But I like how their relationship is developing.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying watching it because as Mr. Wednesday is a liar, as he is tricking him, you get a sense, though, that he likes him. He likes Shadow Moon and more than just using him for what he needs. I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Though he manipulates people.
Yeah,
we saw last episode, he'll do whatever. He was doing all this crazy shtick with the cops before they all died.
Yeah. All right, well, so then after that happens, they do travel to meet Vulcan, who lives in a town where they
super creepy.
Cast all of these bullets. Once a year, somebody accidentally, in quotes, falls into a molten pit that turns them into bullets. It's a blood sacrifice. And this is... Beyond the conversation that Mr. Wednesday has with Shadow Moon, the most explicit that they've been in terms of how gods work on this show,
yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it sort of paints a twofold picture. It's about worship, but it's also about sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I thought that's interesting. Like, what is the relationship? It seems like it's more powerful if you have a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, the ultimate form of worship is your giving yourself to your god. So that's why Vulcan is very powerful. The other thing with Vulcan I think is cool is he's an old god who, like, I saw his betrayal coming from a mile away because he has become a new god.
Yeah.
He is, he traded his old god status of being, like, the fixer.
Well, that's what he was saying. He updated.
Yeah, which I think makes him on the wrong side of Mr. Wednesday's war, which we learn by the end of the episode. So he's traded his power to fire and equating that with guns, which I thought was really good and very stressful for modern America.
Right. What did you think about that scene when they get to the town and everybody's firing guns into the air and then it starts raining bullets?
I love that shit.
Yeah.
You love that shit?
I thought that was so cool. I thought that was a great... There's a maybe Pace Picante salsa commercial in the 80s where it was the same kind of thing. All these people in town shooting up and all of a sudden they stop and they go, "The bullets!" And then it all comes raining down. I was reminded of that right away.
I don't think they'd go that high or take that long to fall. I'm just throwing that out there, but I liked it anyway. Yeah, also, I wanted somebody to hand Mr. Wednesday a metal umbrella. Right?
Well, I mean, those bullets probably kill people.
Right.
The terminal velocity.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like that movie, Terminal Velocity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Keanu Reeves, I want to say.
Cool.
Yeah, probably. What else goes on in the town? What else would you guys like to talk about?
I mean, the whole... It felt that town was looking very Nazi, very scary to me.
Well, you were saying this before we actually turned on the podcast, that you felt like this was the most relevant episode so far.
Yes, I mean... This episode definitely, like, stressed me out in... I've been, like, reading a lot of news, and, like, guns have been popping up in the news. There was... Not to talk about politics on this, but there's a story about the NRA now offers insurance to people who are carrying a gun in case they get sued for shooting someone. And that story was like, oh, that's stressful. That's, like, beyond just gun rights. And this town is about, like, everyone's carrying a gun. They're shooting their guns into the sky to celebrate something. Like, it was...
Yeah, it'd been sucked if you were just like everybody left so they wouldn't get shot with bullets, and then the paper boy is like, "Oh, I'm gonna deliver the paper," and all of a sudden just starts raining bullets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Paperboy's probably packing though some big heat. Yeah. I feel like though we were talking about like it, maybe this is the politics of our country are very different now than they were like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were saying that maybe this week is when. Time is creative. Time has caught up with politics, and this feels very much like a hey, check it out, America's intense.
I've
right
seen
now.
A lot of people talk about how wow, this is such a relevant immigrant story, and I did not feel that until this episode. You know, there's been touches of it, and there's certainly been things like Mr. Nancy's monologue on the slave ship that just was probably the best. Depiction breakdown of race in America that I've ever seen on television. But in terms of immigration, which is obviously a really huge issue that people are discussing right now, it hasn't been exactly the same thing. I haven't necessarily grabbed onto it in the same way. It's been there. It's been present. It's talked about it in different ways, but it hasn't felt as pressing as it did this episode.
Yeah.
And it's probably emphasized by the gun conversation as well. I agree with you. Now, the other big thing that happens is that Mr. Wednesday convinces Vulcan to make him a sword and then uses it to kill Vulcan and gives the sword to Shadow. Now, what I took away from the scene beyond Mr. Wednesday kind of being a badass and kicking into T2 style into some molten lava was that he's essentially knighting Shadow in a way. Did you guys take that as well?
I feel like it's sort of like, you are my warrior now.
Yep.
Which is feels like what he's been grooming him for, which makes it makes a lot of sense why he needs him to be healed and ready to go into battle for him. And he gives him his sword.
Yeah. This episode really made me scared for a lot of different reasons, but mainly for it to be like, okay, Shadow Moon, no longer am I going to be coddling you. Here's your giant sword. You have to start wreaking havoc and turn into an evil robot that does my bidding.
Yeah, but I don't think Shadow's going to do that, right? Because even though he has more information now, I don't think he is totally Mr. Wednesday's man. And I don't think he knows where he wants to be yet.
But I also think that, like, Mr. Wednesday has some kind of control over him that we don't know about yet that's going to come to light, I feel like.
Let's talk about the other plot line in the episode. Laura...
Well, before we go there, is Vulcan dead?
Yeah.
I think probably as dead as a god can be,
He's
right?
He's a very powerful god. He's one of the most powerful gods we've seen.
And then thrown into the bullets.
And he was turned into bullets.
No, but also cursed, which was my favorite part.
Mr. Wednesday
cursing the bullets. So that means it's reversing what it does. Instead of people being like, yes, I'm praising my lord, anyone who uses the bullets will probably die.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I didn't even think of that.
That's what that means
that's
so much
definitely
as.
What that means.
But didn't he just pee
once
on it?
He cursed it, though.
I think it's more about it.
If you mumble stuff while you're peeing, that's a curse.
If you're a god, yeah.
Oh, shit. I curse a lot of things at like 3 a.m. on Saturday nights. No, man.
Let's talk about the other plot line then.
Sure.
So Laura ends up teaming up with Mad Sweeney, which I thought was great. Totally unexpected, given that he's wanted to pull the coin out of her. And they decide, all right, we're going to find a man who can bring you back to life so I can get my coin back. Mm. And then not only that,
totally not in the book. They end up teaming up with the cab driver who got the cab from the gin a couple of episodes
back.
That
was awesome.
That was great. Completely unexpected.
When he was like, can you please stop robbing my cab? That was awesome.
Yeah. That was really nice. What'd you guys think about that?
I love the combo. They make a good team. It's such an interesting combination of people. Mad Sweeney's just in it for the coin. Laura, like we were saying, seems like she doesn't quite know what she wants to do. And then Salim is chasing the djinn.
Yeah, he's chasing his love.
Do we get some nice prayer stuff? It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was a beautiful shot.
Let's talk about that last shot. So they end where Salim is bowing to Mecca, I guess. Again, I'm not totally familiar with Islam, but he's bowing towards the sun, and he's praying, and it's beautiful, beautiful shots. Yeah. The thing that's so interesting is all of them end up talking about how wonderful life is. Mad Sweetie doesn't seem like he necessarily agrees. He spits on the ground, but Laura clearly is feeling like that, but as she is feeling like that and saying how wonderful life is, a fly buzzes around her head because she's still dead, and I thought that was just such a interesting way of ending the episode rather than this hopeful note. It still has this note of darkness of no, she's still rotting from the inside out.
Yeah,
but it was nice and very powerful way to end the episode. I thought it was a really well done shot, and it was a different tone than what we're used to seeing. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, technically we're all dying all the time. So that's why I eat a different coin every day.
Use Bitcoin every day?
I eat a different coin every day.
That's smart, man. That's smart.
You should just use Bitcoin.
You think that does the same thing?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I'm really curious to see where this goes. I'm excited about this triptych, if you will, traveling together.
I think this episode did a great job of like really setting things up for what's to come. I made me very nervous about what's going to happen next.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we move on then to our next section, which is Godmail or Gmail, if you will. These are questions that you guys...
It's part of the show where Alex gives a little smirk to himself.
I just really enjoy it.
Oh, God. All right. You don't have to... The whole...
Christians, let us know what you think on Twitter about Alex's Mountain Dew SA eagle button.
Yep. So you can send us questions or comments about the show if you want, either our podcast or the actual show American Gods at Comic Book Live on Twitter or Comic Book Club Live at gmail.com. We've got a couple of questions on Twitter today. I wonder if we should go to this one. We'll leave it for last. We'll see where we get to. Josh Golden says, what would a Lucky Charms commercial be like if the Lucky Charms leprechaun was replaced with Mad Sweeney?
Oh, that would be great.
Great question. Yeah. Great question. What do you think, Pete? You like Mad Sweeney and Lucky Charms, as we've already established on this very show.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Lucky Charms. I would just think it would be a darker, darker commercial. But it would still have the same great taste of Lucky Charms, so it can't be that bad.
It wouldn't be pink stars and purple horseshoes. It would be whiskey shots. And,
oh, you think they would change up all the marshmallows?
Yeah, it'd be different marshmallows. The flavors would be cool. It'd be like
gold coins.
Yeah,
green crocodiles.
Yeah, Meister flavored.
Oh man, the Jaeger purple horseshoe. Yeah.
Oh, real quick, just take a step back. It was nice to see the crocodile bar again.
I know.
Just going to throw that out there.
I was surprised. Right. I feel like they were like, that set's pretty cool. Let's just have them go there.
Yep. That's definitely where I felt like we're watching a TV show with a budget, you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I think he'd probably be like, they're after me gold coins instead of they're after me Lucky Charms, but we'd have to see. Ben Brown says, first Shadow rejected Laura, then the coin situation was fully explained. Is everything coming up, Pete?
Yeah!
And then he has a gif of everything's coming up, Milhouse, from the hit television show The Simpsons.
Oh, I've never thought of Pete as the Milhouse of my life, but he is.
What? Whoa, are you the Bart?
Fuck you, man.
I'm not saying I'm the Bart. I'm just saying Pete's definitely the Milhouse.
Wait, who are you then?
I guess that would make me Bart.
No.
Let's see. We got Bart, Milhouse, and Milhouse.
You just say that because we both wear glasses.
Me and a couple of Milhouses hanging out.
I don't know. If anything, I'm the Lisa.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Wow. What a braggy choice that is.
Oh, my God.
Man.
I'm just saying, when you're a Lisa, you know you're a Lisa. So is everything coming up, Pete? That's the big question. Pete, is everything coming up, Pete?
Oh, yeah. Definitely is.
And be honest about your life right now.
Yeah, be honest about your life. And by the way, eat my shorts. Or peep my shorts.
Up and at them. Up and at them. Yeah, I just think that, yeah, I'm glad we are, things got explained. We also got in this episode Wednesday, you know, trying to explain himself, which I wanted. So I was happy about that. But hopefully we get more. And, yeah, thank you for saying that. It's awfully nice of you.
Well, Pete, would you like to make another prediction or ask out into the universe for the show to see, to prove if everything is truly coming up, Pete?
All right. The next episode then would have to, we would have to finally see this war that we keep talking about.
Like, okay. Oh, that's a bit,
I feel like that's bit not of a non,
non-starter there, but sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the end
you
of the
You guys asked me the question, and then I said it, and you both were like, oh,
well,
that's
just
dumb.
By dramatic structure, that's not going to happen in the second to last episode.
Yeah, and also...
Well, maybe it could.
Don't have a cow, man. Just wait and see what happens.
Yeah. Mm.
Dope.
So I'm a little hesitant to read this one because this is our third question, our last question, or statement, I guess. And it's a bit of a spoiler.
I mean, I just...
I showed this to you, Justin, while Pete was talking. What do you think?
Should I don't think you have to set it up as a spoiler. It's just a theory.
Oh, all right. That's fair. Well, Pete, let me ask you this. Do you have any theories about Mr. Wednesday at this point?
No, I don't know who he is. I'm dying to know.
No, let me ask you, though. Do you think he's is he a god or is he just a guy?
he's probably the devil.
The devil, you think? The devil, you say?
Yeah.
Cool.
Here. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bleep out parts of this. Okay. So
no,
this is from Adam Mann. And if you really want to know, check out our Twitter feed. Adam Mann tweeted this at us. So he says, because of the newest American Gods episode, I believe Mr. Wednesday is. He can talk to. Are
too many.
How long is this?
Birds.
Great. I think
Wait,
you maybe
can talk to birds.
I think you maybe over bleeped that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I? I just wanted to leave out anything that potentially could
that
be a spoiler.
Part? Did I miss the part where he was talking to the birds
in last week's episode?
Yeah, in last week's episode, a bird knocks on his door and talks to him,
and he talks to the bird.
That's right.
So what do you think?
Do you think that's a clue, or do you think he's just cuckoo bananas?
No, that's definitely a clue.
Or do you think the bird's just a cool bird who knows how to knock on doors?
Well, birds are pretty cool.
Nothing truer has ever been said on
All
this
right,
podcast.
Well, here's what I'd say is I think, Adam, you're definitely on the right track there. Good guesses.
Great guess. I mean, I just wish there was some sort of clue in his name, you know? But I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for your Gmail. Let's move on to our next section, which is God of the Week. Who is the God of the Week? Justin, you didn't get to be here last week. So what is your God of the Week this week?
Well, I mean, what gods did we have? We had Jesus, obviously.
Sure.
Great God, who Pete believes in. We had Mr. Wednesday, whoever he may be. Mm-hmm. We had Mad Sweeney's Leprechaun. Counting it.
The Voltramite or whatever.
We have Vulcan.
Vulcan, yeah.
And we had, I guess that's about it.
Yeah. So who you're going for?
Oof, not a great bunch of gods there. You know what I'm going to believe in? My God of the Week is Laura.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you think she's a god?
I think she would be revered as a god. I mean, Jesus just came back to life and he was worshipped. She did the same thing. So
was that all he did?
Is that all he did?
There's some other stuff about ferns or whatever.
Don't forget about the Easter candy. I mean, that's
did
a big
he
part
do
of...
Between Two Ferns? Is that where I know him from?
Yeah.
Is that, I
can't
was
believe
to remember,
Galifianakis got him.
Where do I know him from, you know?
I'm going to say Wednesday, just because of how he beheads. And that was my favorite part of the episode.
Oh, nice.
I took out the evil bullet god.
I still can't decide whether he's a god or not, since I don't even think he necessarily knows, but the djinn. What's his name?
Salim.
Salim, yes. It was just so nice to see him back, and I like his character so much, and his always almost crying, watery eyes.
Yeah, he is very much.
Yeah, but he's great. Right, he's such an emotional character, and I'm so glad we're going to get to see more of that story. Very happy about it. All right, guys, if you want to support the show and the other shows that we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every single Tuesday night in New York that's totally free. You can check out the information on our website. What else do we want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the guests we have coming up on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And always remember, Pete is covered with ads.
Pete is covered with ads. Everyone can have their own personal Jesus.
Oh, that was Pete this time. Pete did the eagle. Do the do.